You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You're listening to the Noble and Roosh Show, brought to you by Ball is Life and Dash Radio.
Welcome back to another episode of the Noble and Roosh Show, the number one podcast on the Ball is Life Network. I'm your host, Roosh Williams. I also co-host State of the Rockets, which is a Houston Rockets podcast. You can find that on YouTube or anywhere else you get your podcast. But look, it's the Noble and Roosh Show, man. This is one of the only podcasts out there in the game where you will find exclusive content, exclusive interviews with NBA players, beat writers, journalists, bloggers, you name it. We probably have talked to them at some point. And as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Mr. Zach Noble. Zach, how you doing today, buddy?
I'm shook, man. I'm rattled. I got my world flipped upside down, but should we get right into it?
Yeah, let's get right into it. Today, we're going to be talking about NBA free agency, which broke last night, not even 24 hours ago. And there have been a slew of pretty crazy trades that have started happening today, Friday. And so we're going to dive right into it. The biggest news is that the Minnesota Timberwolves have traded, the Utah Jazz have traded Rudy Gobert to the Minnesota Timberwolves. Do you have the full transaction, Zach?
Let me pull it up. So
read it out. Read it out and then tell us where you were when you found out, how you reacted, and how you feel, since you are obviously a Timberwolves fan. Hit us.
Yeah, so I haven't been shook like this in a minute, but here are the deets. Wolves get Rudy Gobert, pretty simple, straightforward, one dude. And the Utah Jazz collect Malik Beasley, Patrick Beverley, our first-round pick at number 22, Walker Kessler, Jared Vanderbilt, arguably the best contract in the league, and, wait for it, four first-round picks! With that said, two of them are unprotected as shit.
No, three of them are unprotected. 2023, 2025, 2027 are unprotected. Why are you laughing?
I'm just trying to catch my throw up coming up again. Don't forget the Italian Ricky Rubio, Leandro Balmero.
What?
Yeah, we sent Leandro Balmero. It was like a 6 or 8 for 1 deal.
Oh, wow. Okay. I didn't know that. So 2023, 2025, 2027, unprotected first round picks. The 2029 pick is top five protected. Interesting to see teams adding that top five protection instead of going for top four protection. It seems like they figured out that if you are the worst team in the league, you could still end up with the fifth overall pick and not the fourth overall pick. So that's interesting. But no swaps, right? Just four picks, or are there swaps?
No swaps. None. Zero.
At least that's something, I guess. Look, the 2023 pick next season, if you're Minnesota, I guess you're hoping that you're making the playoffs. Like, that's why you're making this trade. So you're not worried about that pick. So, okay, I guess that's fine. 25 and 27 those are interesting. 27 could be very, very valuable. And if this whole thing goes south quicker than we thought, which this is the NBA, so that happens frequently, as we've seen with KD and Kyrie, 2025 could be a very important pick as well. And then 2029, we're, 7 years away. So we'll have to figure that out when it comes. Where were you when you found out? How'd you react?
I was driving. I was wanting a Rudy Gobert deal, kind of. I was always preferring other centers, like Miles Turner was priority A, Clint Capella, just random power forwards. I even dabbled with John Collins. But, the dream was I mean, if we're going to go star hunting, DeJounte Murray, which went for less than this. And I thought when multiple picks came out, I thought it was going to be a haul. I was praying multiple only meant two. I would have been ecstatic. So going back, I mean, I was knowing something big was going to happen. These guys have been trying. We've been reported for many dudes. I mean, DeJounte was the latest. I mean, even Malcolm Brogdon, we explored. We were involved in Miles Turner, you name it. But I only wanted to give up two picks. I was really set on that. I didn't really care about the players as long as we didn't give up D'Lo. I didn't want to give up Jaden McDaniels, who I think is maybe going to be more valuable than Rudy Gobert by next year, the year after. I think Jaden McDaniels is that freaking good. But Patrick Beverley, man, this is my hot take. I personally believe for the Minnesota Timberwolves, Patrick Beverley might be as valuable or very, 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 very close to what Rudy Gobert can be. I mean, Rudy Gobert, if you take out Cat for a game, obviously, if you take out Ant for a game, yeah, his value is going to be incredible through the regular season. But when it comes to playoff time, I'm not sold on the fit yet, because Cat doesn't play like the four that he used to. I mean, he plays more like a five. So it's a whole nother dynamic we're going to have to figure out. I'm shook because we just gave up our whole future. I mean, I always like going all in. I'm a gambler. I like freaking going after stars, but the dude's 30. He's got 4 years remaining at 40 mil. When I think we can get this value for maybe 3 million or very close to what Jared Vanderbilt. Walker Kessler's our first round pick. I would have preferred not to give up Kessler, Bev, and Vando when we're giving up four picks. I think we should only had to give up two for this.
I just can't imagine why they gave, what was the market that they were competing with that they had to give up all of that?
Who else is going in that big? That's the question. Danny Ainge is a magician, man. That's what it is. There's a reason why Danny Ainge never made a deal before, because he didn't get to fleece anybody. You give Danny Ainge a chance to fleece somebody like he did, he's going to pull that trigger every damn time.
You realize what it takes to fleece somebody, right? It doesn't take Danny Ainge being a magician. It takes Minnesota being stupid. So Minnesota was stupid. I mean, credit to Danny Ainge. He pulled off the deal, but I think Minnesota just made a bad deal, and Danny Ainge kind of probably looked around, asked if they're serious, and then said, sure, yeah, let's go. But yeah, I mean, look, they gave up a lot. I think from a basketball perspective, it'll work.
The West is
stacked, though, man. I mean, you know, look, from a basketball perspective, you're going to have Gobert next to Cat, next to Anthony Davis. Who are you going to start at three? Is it going to be Prince? Is it going to be Kyle Anderson? I don't know. Whichever one of those guys doesn't start.
It's Jaden McDaniels will be the three, and then D'Lo and Ant. That's a roster.
I would bring Ant off the bench. I'm sorry. I'd bring D'Lo off the bench.
You're a $30 million man. And what, you going to start J-Mac?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think you need a point guard. I think losing Beverly hurts for that reason.
We're going to try to trade him. Now getting value back for D'Lo is actually needed. Like, we didn't need it before. People wanted to just dump him and get him for very little. But now we just gave up our only future assets and value and our perimeter defense. Unless Jaden McDaniel, you believe him and Rudy can cover everything. Because, yes, I know in the regular season, Rudy Gobert could be a number one defense by himself with a bunch of average defenders around him. Guys just get rubbed off and they rely on Rudy at the rim and he saves the day as an anchor. But the dude's 30 years old. Like, how long can this last? He definitely declined a little bit last year. Rebounding is super important. Yes, we were one of the worst rebounding teams in the league. But Jared Vanderbilt, man, I mean, I just think with more minutes to him, I mean, his per 36 rebounding numbers, Walker Kessler, I really believed in him as a 22nd pick. I didn't like what we gave up from depth fits. I do think Cat and Rudy are going to work because I think Finch is amazing, but I don't think It's the untapped ceiling. Like if we would have got like a Miles Turner or even DeJounte Murray, I would have given this package up for DeJounte Murray, which is much more than what he cost.
Yeah. I mean, look, from a basketball perspective, I think it works. You get Gobert. I mean, think of what Cleveland did with Jared Allen and Evan Mobley. Obviously, Karl Anthony Towns is not Evan Mobley defensively, but offensively, he's, you know, much more versatile than Evan Mobley. And Rudy Gobert is, you know, you could argue obviously better than Jared Allen, if not just as good as Jared Allen, whoever you prefer as your defensive anchor. But from a basketball perspective, you get a defensive anchor that will hold it down and I think immediately transform Minnesota's regular season defense. You let Cat not have to, Cat's not a center. You know, he can play center, but he's really not a center. So having someone that can be that center and just let Karl Anthony Towns be this unicorn, versatile, scoring big that he is, I think is going to help him. You obviously still have Anthony Edwards. You have D'Angelo Russell, who I'm not really honestly that high on, but I mean, he's as your third, fourth guy, perfect to have around. They signed Kyle Anderson. They got Torian Prince. They have some length. They have some decent shooting. They have athleticism. I mean, they have a good team. I think they're going to be a tough out in the regular season. And for a team like Minnesota that hasn't finished higher than what? Seven, eight? What did they finish last season?
Seven last year.
And seven. They were eight in 2018, right?
Yes, but we're...
That's the best you finished since when? 2004?
Yeah.
So
owning our future capital is a pretty amazing thing when we've only made the playoffs less than 30% of our existence.
Right. No, I'm not saying the deal is good necessarily. I'm just saying, I mean, I get it. They thought like, hey, here's our chance. Screw it. Like, we can be a top six team in the Western Conference, you know, with this roster. And so I think that's just the rationale they're operating off of. Now, again, the West is packed, right? Phoenix, Golden State, Clippers, Grizzlies, Nuggets, Mavericks. That's six right there. And those are all teams are returning. You know, Dallas looks a little bit different losing Brunson, but they add Christian Wood. They're going to add Goran Dragic most likely. So
I'm not worried about Dallas.
Yeah, Dallas should be back. Luke is still there. Denver.
No, I'm not worried about Dallas for the Wolves.
Yeah, but they're going to be one of your direct competitors for seeding. So you should be. Denver, Bruce Brown, KCP. I like what Denver's got going on. And then Jamal Murray comes back. MPJ comes back, obviously, hopefully. Clippers, they add John Wall, which I think is great. And then, you know, Kawhi Leonard comes back. So there's that. And they extend Zubac. So Zubac will be there. Golden State gets a little weaker, at least right now. Looney still hasn't been re-signed, I don't think, as of when we're recording this.
26 mil. 3 years, 26 mil.
Oh, he did get re-signed.
Yep. Big deal for him.
With Golden State.
Yep.
Okay, so there you go. Looney's now re-signed. But they lose Gary Payton II. They lose Otto Porter. I think both of those will hurt, but Golden State will still definitely be in the mix as a contender. Phoenix remains to be seen what's going to go down with Phoenix, but as they stand, they are still a competitor, a contender to, you know, finish top five in the West. So all of those teams make it difficult, and that doesn't even count the fact that the Lakers come back with AD healthy and a bit of a retooled roster. Portland is still going to hope to try to get in the mix. They re-signed Nurk. They extended Anthony Simons. They made a couple moves. They get Jeremy Grant. They get Gary Payton II. Like, Dame will actually be playing this season, so don't count them out of being a play-in or a top-8 team. Sacramento is going to want to be in the mix and be in on it, right? And then New Orleans. If Zion plays, I mean, New Orleans could also have a breakout season. So the West is packed, okay? So to give up your future and to bet it on Gobert like that, that's a risk, man. But that's the rationale that I see. It's the only rationale I see from Minnesota's perspective.
Let me ask you this. Who do you think lifts the Timberwolves ceiling more, Rudy Gobert or DeJounte Murray?
Ceiling, DeJounte Murray. But with DeJounte Murray, now you got to move D'Angelo Russell.
Right.
So, you know.
I mean, maybe he would have gone out in that deal.
Yeah, which is fine, you know. Not that like that's a bad thing, but I'm just saying they have to figure that out. Plus, the Hawks gave up less than the T-Wolves gave to get
right
Gobert. So yeah, I mean, I would go with DeJounte Murray personally over Gobert. I think Gobert flames out in the playoffs. At some point, you're going to have to, the guy that you're paying $40 million a year and the guy that you just traded four first round picks for is going to have to sit on the bench at some point in the playoffs. And that sucks, right? So that's for that reason alone, I wouldn't do it if I was Minnesota. Like you're investing so much into Rudy Gobert, and for him to situationally not be playable depending on the matchup or the quarter or whatever's happening in a playoff series, that's a big deal.
So at the end of the day, his games played are declining with his age. His minutes aren't. I mean, his stats have been probably about the same for most of his career. That necessarily hasn't declined, but that's something to keep an eye on. I mean, stats decline in the playoffs for him quite a bit. That matters. But yeah, what do you think from Utah's side? Donovan Mitchell looks like they're going to try to build around him. He's not forcing any which way right now, which a lot of people thought could have happened, but they get a bunch of guys to build around him. I don't know about the pieces and the fits necessarily, but I mean, what if they try to go all in on trading those picks away right now?
They could. I mean, look, they want to retool around Donovan Mitchell. If they traded Donovan Mitchell, they could really come back with like an OKC type haul. But I mean, I think it makes sense to keep Donovan Mitchell. You got one of your cornerstones in place. Just use the draft capital that you got to go and find another, right? I think Danny Ainge is going to make some very, very solid moves. I have a lot of faith in Danny Ainge being able to maneuver with this type of draft capital. So, I mean, for Utah, I guess we'll see. They still have Mike Conley. They still have Donovan Mitchell. They still have Rudy Gay. You know, they're not going to be a playoff team, but I think they'll be better than teams like the Rockets and the Thunder and the Spurs. So they're going to kind of be in that, you know, 11, 12 purgatory kind of spot, I think, unless they keep making trades and continue to lose talent for assets and draft picks, you know?
Yeah, I think the only guys right now they could really go after would be DeAndre Ayton. I don't KD. Think KD, they have the picks. They have more.
There were rumored to be interested in DeAndre Ayton, which I thought was interesting. I thought that was really weird. But hey, if you can go get all those picks for Gobert and then just replace him with Ayton, shit.
For $20 million less almost, I mean.
Why not? You know, so right. Look, they sold Rudy Gobert. They sold as high as they could have sold. That's a crazy draft package or crazy trade package to get for Gobert. So, excuse me. Been a long day. Credit to them for selling high, man. I mean, credit to them. If I was them, I would have done the same thing because if they ran back,
smash that all day.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause if they would have ran it back, I mean, what are they going to do? First round exit again, you know, at best they make it to the second round and they get bounced. You know, is that worth passing up on that package? I say no. Any other thoughts? You want to move on to some of these other transactions?
Yeah, before we get into the free agency signings, I mean, any thoughts on DeJounte Murray's fit in Atlanta? I love it. I think if they keep the same team they have, I mean, with Collins and Capella there, Bogdan, I love Jalen Johnson. DeAndre Hunter has to turn into something, but I think they have the pieces to get back to the Eastern Conference Finals again now. If the pairing works like I think, if Trey can really learn to play off ball, his usage comes down quite a bit. And DeJounte slashing, it could be a lot of fun. But it also could look like a little bit of Harden Westbrook. I mean, that could always happen. So,
no. Well, so I think it's a good fit. I mean, you get a solid defensive point guard, which is the primary difference between Harden and Westbrook comparison. So you get a reliable defender at that position. You get a guy that, you know, doesn't turn the ball over, doesn't shoot it quite as well as you'd want to, but he takes care of the ball. He plays solid fundamental basketball. You know, he can create, he can score. As a number one for the Spurs, it just wasn't, you know, he's not like a number one on a contender.
But
he can be a number two or number three. I mean, he damn near averaged a triple-double, led the league in steals, you know.
But look who was around him, man. He still won 34 games. He's vying for the play-in, and I still think he's got a lot more to go. Like, I agree with you, can't be a number one, but I mean, I think we're a little far away from giving him not that title either.
Well, no, I'm just saying he was a number one for San Antonio.
Right.
So, but now he doesn't have to be that. Yeah, as a number one, he led them to 34 wins. That's not good, you know?
But with the talent around him, it's not terrible. Bradley Beal-esque.
No, I'm talking about on the scale of like real deal number ones, you know, right. Real deal number ones win more than 34 games, regardless of the talent. Luka's done it. Harden's done it. LeBron's done it. Go down the list. Right. So I'm just saying he's not that, which I don't think anyone would disagree with if you would.
No, he's not that yet. No, absolutely not.
I don't think he's going to be that. So, but now he gets to be a legitimate number two, occasionally number three, depending on, you know, John Collins or Bogdanovich on any given night, whoever's going off. With that said, I like it a lot for Atlanta. It shores things up defensively in their backcourt. One of my biggest knocks on a Trae Young-led team going all the way is that Trae Young's your point of attack, you know, your first guy at the point of attack, you know? And so that's tough. But having Deontay Murray immediately boosts and helps that. And then also the offensive ramifications of having Trae Young play off the ball. You know, he plays a lot on the ball, making life easier for him and using his ability to relocate and catch and shoot and his speed and quickness cutting and losing defenders in traffic, even without the ball. Now you can take advantage of that. They gave up a decent amount, but I think it makes sense for Atlanta. They also, you know, they gave up Gallo in the transaction. I thought Gallo was great for them, so that's unfortunate. But I like it. Are they better than Milwaukee?
No.
Are they better than Boston? No. Are they better than Miami?
Yes.
I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. Depends on if they can play defense. You know, are they better than Philadelphia? Remains to be seen. So they're kind of in that second tier. I think they could make the second round. I think they could make the conference finals, but I don't think they would be a favorite to make the conference finals. So,
right. No, I'm with everything there. You want to get into free agency?
Let's talk about Brogdon.
All right. Love it, man. I mean, that was as low as I think his stock has ever been. I mean, just coming off another year of not playing a lot of games on a bad team. But I mean, when he plays, he's been really freaking good and a borderline all-star, like almost Fred VanVleet type. So if Boston gets 60 games of that and him healthy in the playoffs, I mean, that's all you can ask for. I mean, they've built this team perfect. I truly believe they're the best built team fit wise in the entire league. It's just,
You're going to have to articulate what the hell you're saying when you say they're perfectly built, but they could use more talent.
No, I'm not saying they could use more talent. It's just that's the only thing. If you don't think they have what it takes to win, it's because of their talent level. But any possible thing you think you need in a basketball team from offense, defense, any positional, stylistically, Boston can do it all. And they have the pieces and the personnel to do it. And that's what I'm saying. And these guys fit perfectly together. It's just at the end of the day, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown are going to need to get some buckets when it really matters in the playoffs. But I definitely think Brogdon, I mean, from either creation, he's a more creation to add to the pile, but even as a shot maker, playmaker, he'll give them more open looks and defensively, he'll make their life easier. So you don't have to waste so much energy on that end as well. But they have enough depth to not even have to give up Grant Williams, which Indiana was trying really hard to get as well. I think it was like 26th or 27th type pick. It'd probably be like, it's a no brainer. And I think more teams should have fought for that. I would have given up one unprotected pick for Malcolm Brogdon at that price, to be honest.
Yeah, so the trade is Daniel Tice, Aaron Nesmith, Nick Stauskas, Malik Fitz, Juwan Morgan, and a 2023 first-round pick. So if Boston's good, you'd imagine that pick's going to be like 25 or later for Malcolm Brogdon. Yeah, I mean, look, Malcolm Brogdon can really play point guard, which was a huge position of need for Boston. It's honestly kind of crazy how they made the finals and came so close to winning a championship without really having a point guard on the roster. We saw what difference Derek White made for them. So now you add Malcolm Brogdon, who's a more reliable shooter, a more reliable ball handler, and very good defensively. The issue with him is health. He's only played more than 56 games twice in his career. His very first season in the league, played 75 games. Since then, he's played 48, 64, 54, 56, and 36. That is a huge risk. He's owed $45 million over the next 2 years. So that's the gamble here that Boston is taking. The good news for Boston is, A, they gave up nobody that they actually planned to play for meaningful minutes. Maybe Daniel Tice, really not, though. Didn't give up Grant Williams. Didn't give up Marcus Smart in any type of deal. So didn't, you know, only gave up a first that they have really no use for. So from all of those perspectives, I think it's a great deal for Boston. Like I said, they add ball handling, which they need. They add another solid defender. Malcolm Brogdon's a 38% three-point shooter, 37.6 for his career. Last season, 31%. 2 years ago, 32.6%. But every season other than that, he shot above 38.5% for his career. So very solid there. And then the luxury for Boston and for Malcolm Brogdon is, even if he's hurt, it really doesn't matter. They'll be good in the regular season. As long as he's ready for the playoffs, that's all they need. So they could, if they needed to, they could really use him solely and strictly as a 16 game player for the playoffs. Not that that's what they're going to do, but they're able to do that. So I love it for Boston. Indiana gets the first round pick that they wanted. Maybe they used Daniel Tice. I don't know. Kind of sucks for Daniel Tice. He started in Houston a couple of years ago, or last year, got traded to Boston, reunited in Boston, made a finals run, and then immediately gets traded to another rebuilding team in Indiana. So that kind of has to suck for him.
He had one good year with Boston, then starts spiraling out of control of just no opportunities for the guy.
Also, adding on to mention of Atlanta, they traded Justin Holiday, Mo Harkless. They traded Kevin Huerter to Sacramento for Justin Holiday, Mo Harkless, and a future first round pick. So good on Atlanta. If they didn't think Kevin Huerter, a friend of the show, by the way, go check out our previous interview with him. It's on our YouTube channel and on our podcast website. We don't have a podcast website. It's on the podcast app, the Apple Podcast app. So go check that out. But I think Huerter will be a nice fit in Sacramento. He replaces Dante DiVincenzo, which is an interesting reason, an interesting kind of scenario. Sacramento not extending the qualifying offer, I think is what it was for Dante DiVincenzo. And they basically give up a first round pick to find his replacement. So that's interesting. But Atlanta gets a first round pick. They get Justin Holiday, Mo Harkless, maybe bodies they can use for the regular season grind. And so that works out for itself. So anything else before we get into free agency? Have any other trades been made? I feel like we're missing one. Or big trades?
I don't think none that really need to be touched on.
Okay. Well, let's rapid fire. I'm going to go down this list. We have a thread of the moves that have been made. I'm just going to read them off. Give me your quick rapid fire reaction. And I mean quick, Zach.
All right.
Let's get it. And I'll do the same. And then let's run through it. So this is going from what I think is in chronological order from last night. All right. Isaiah Hartenstein to the Knicks, 2 years, $16 million.
Too steep. Would have preferred a 1 year deal, but I mean, he's a decent player. I mean, $8 million per. I know it's going to help be beneficial when the cap goes up like it's going to next year.
Yeah, I agree. A little too steep, in my opinion. He's just a backup. And also interesting because they brought Mitchell Robinson back for 4 years, $60 million. They still got to find time for Obi Toppin in the front court. And they have Julius Randle, obviously. So I don't know how any of that's going to work. We will see. But I like Isaiah Hartenstein. Jokic re-ups for the biggest contract in NBA history. 5 years, $264 million. That's a no-brainer, right?
Yeah, no need to touch on extensions. Those are all obvious. And yeah, I mean, I think KD should really consider Denver. I truly think that team could be an all-time team if it's just Michael Porter Jr. for a ton of picks. Like, how appealing does it go in between Aaron Gordon? Jokic,
I don't think they can trade Michael Porter Jr. because of that rule. The same rule that's preventing Bam Adebayo from being traded.
But Bam can be traded if Ben Simmons is included.
So you can't.
I would do that.
Yeah, but you can't just do Michael Porter Jr. for KD. Michael Porter Jr. and picks for KD. That doesn't work.
I'm trying to think. Maybe they have to attach like Aaron Gordon.
It would have to be. I don't know what Aaron Gordon's money is, but one thing that I think works. Well, no, I don't know what Aaron. Let's see what Aaron Gordon makes.
18.
18 a year. You're sure about that?
Yeah, very sure.
You'd probably have to do like Aaron Gordon and Jamal Murray. But then you might need to add, I don't know if that gets you to 25%. Yeah. So, anyways, but that's not the point. We're reading down these transactions. Okay. So, Malik Monk to the Sacramento Kings, 2 years, $19 million.
Beautiful deal. I mean, Kings need shooting and defense. He shores up some of the shooting with Huerter. I think they're set on the shooting aspect. It's defense. I mean, they got a lot of offense there. And then they're looking at getting Tobias Harris potentially. Maybe if they can get him and Thybulle and Barnes goes out, that could be interesting. But Malik Monk, I just hope he gets 25 minutes per game. Should be a no-brainer contract. One of the better signings.
Yeah, I mean, it's fine for what it is. You know, Malik Monk's not a needle mover. He's a solid player, good offensive player. Now they have shooting. They replace DiVincenzo with Herter, and they add Malik Monk, so they get some scoring and shooting on the wings, but not elite, and they are vulnerable defensively. I think they're going to be, you know, bad defensively again. So, but good for Malik Monk. He got his bag. Victor Oladipo to the Miami Heat, 1 year, $11 million.
I was shocked he only got 1 year, man. I thought he did enough in the playoffs, showed plenty of science to at least get a two-year deal about that. But he, I mean, he's looking down the Isaiah Thomas path when he's tried to come back from all of his injuries. Isaiah never got an $11 million deal, which is unfortunate. Thought he should have. But Victor could be very, very big for Miami this year. $11 million is a solid investment. Means they're playing on playing him quite a bit.
Yeah, I think it's, I mean, I think it's fine. I don't think it really moves the needle for Miami unless he really comes back and he's like back to being Victor Oladipo. But I think he's going to be a lesser version of himself. 1 year, $11 million. That's fine, I guess. I don't see Miami being the same Miami that they were unless they make some type of move. But
Bam is the only one. Yeah, that could make them a lot better. Because Lowry's going way downhill. I don't like Miami next year unless Depot or Bam really steps up.
Yeah, but they lose PJ Tucker to the 76ers. 3 years, $33.2 million. Thoughts?
Man, paying a guy 40 at that, because it looks like they're all guaranteed, right? For PJ?
I think so.
Yeah, so I love what Philly's doing. I mean, why not if that's what it takes to get PJ Tucker? I think he's got at least one fully great year in him, maybe two. That's all you need. I mean, it's now or never for Philly. I mean, I think James is going to come back way better this year, and so all those things matter, and you can overpay if that's the case. But at the end of the day, is Embiid going to be healthy? Is Harden going to be a little better? So I think they got the pieces now to finally win. I didn't think they had them last year. But yeah, I hope PJ can make it at least 2 years, and that'd be worth it.
Yeah, I mean, for where they're at, I think it's good. You know, paying him that much money when he's 39, 40 or whatever, that's interesting. But they just need him for 1 year. He's going to bring something identity-wise and character-wise and just toughness-wise to that Sixers team that I think you need next to Embiid and you definitely need next to Harden. So, I like it. Okay.
Sorry, real quick, I was looking up Oladipo's numbers and holy shit, I didn't realize how good they were compared to like what my eyes remembered. Like I thought he showed plenty of flashes. I just didn't think the numbers were that good, but 48%. 42% from three, really good efficiency all across the board. Per 36, numbers 20 and change. So it's just like, play the guy. Let's see what happens. Give him 25, 30 minutes a game and let's buck.
Yeah. Per 36 is, you know, meaningless. But Nick Batum back to Clippers, $22 million, 2 years, $22
million. That one I absolutely despise. I mean, Nick Batum. That's a guy's number that would slide past me. I guess they declined, if I remember right, quite a bit. But like, I did not like Nick Batum last year compared to the year before. I thought he was really good 1 year ago defensively. But I mean, his numbers are fine. Yeah, I mean, still 46 and 40. But yeah, I had 2 years locking him up for that. No, thank you.
Yeah, I like it. I mean, because they're in win now mode. You know, Kyrie's coming back. I'm sorry. Kawhi's coming back. They're getting John Wall. You bring Nick Batum back. I mean, I think they're poised to really contend. Mo Bamba back to the Magic. 2 years, $21 million.
I wanted Minnesota to go after him. He's another guy. Like I would have been just fine with him over Rudy Gobert instead of giving up all that trash. Like I think Mo Bamba, I mean, if he gets a real opportunity, could have a similar impact, but we're never going to see that in Orlando. They're too much of a logjam on the front court there. And I think he's just now a solidified big going forward. I was surprised nobody else wanted to give him a little more than that. But I mean, that's a good deal for Orlando if they can find 25 minutes for him.
Awesome. Yeah, I mean, it's nice to bring him back. He's solid. He had a good starting season, so why not? I didn't understand why they wouldn't have done it in the first place. Okay.
Do you think any other team should have really tried for him?
Should they have? Yeah. What teams would those be? I don't know. I would have liked him in Toronto. Thought he would have fit nicely in Toronto. Yeah,
that was a great one.
Okay. Anfernee Simons extends 4 years, $100 million. Do we need to go through that?
Oh, just real quickly. I mean, I love Anfernee Simons. I think he's completely worth it. No brainer. But I mean, at the same time, he's only been kind of looking promising in a really terrible situation. Like, he's never had that role on an impactful winning team yet. So I still think there's a decent amount of risk there. Like, I don't think it's an A plus signing by any means, but I give it definitely a B and something you probably should have done.
Basically CJ McCollum's replacement. So right. I think that's fine.
Do you think his ceiling's higher than CJ? I do.
Sure. I mean, ceiling. CJ never hit too high of a ceiling. I mean, he was a good player, but he wasn't, I don't even think he's been an all-star ever.
No, but I mean, it's just because he got hurt right before the all-star game. Like, I always say CJ McCollum is as close to an all-star as a borderline guy gets.
Yeah. I mean, probably, you know, he's like a low 20s per game scorer, you know, 4 or 5 assists.
I think very he good averaged player. Like 27 for a while.
He has never averaged 27 points per game in his career.
For like 75% of a season, he has. I mean, he's 24 on a season twice. No,
he is not. He's never averaged 24 for a season.
Last year, 24.3 and then 23.5. Yeah, not lower.
No, there is not a 23.5 on his box score. That does not exist.
There's a 24.3 CJ for McCollum.
For 26 games in New Orleans, homie.
Okay.
But you're wrong.
But I mean, for 26 games and, if there's a 30-game stretch there and without Dame, he was averaging 27, 28. So
that's great, but he didn't do it for a season. Anyways, my point is, yeah, sure, Simons. I mean, makes sense. You know, I don't think it's like a needle mover that makes Portland contend, but they want to keep that talent. So sure, good for them. Okay. Jalen Brunson to the Knicks, 4 years, 110.
Do you think he played Dallas and just got an offer to boost up the number a little bit, or you think Knicks were going to sign him for that all along?
I don't know. I don't really think it matters. I mean, 5 years, 106. He would have taken 21 million a year, roughly, from the Knicks and then from the Mavs, and then with the Knicks, he's getting 4 years, 110, which is, you know, I don't know, what is it?
27, 29-ish, but
754. 81, 108. Yeah, it's like 27 and change.
Higher ceiling, him or Simon? Who would you rather have?
I mean, I've seen Jalen Brunson put up 27 and whatever on great efficiency in the playoffs. So
right.
I haven't seen Simons do it yet. Does that mean he can't? No. But I don't get into those fairy tale bullshit comparisons that you love so much.
I think he's a perfect fit with RJ. But I mean, I think he fits with most people because I think his usage can fluctuate and he can still be great, but he's going to have a different role. His usage should go up. He's going to be the primary point guard versus sometimes a secondary point guard in Dallas. So that's going to matter if you think he's got a higher ceiling, but a lot of people don't like the number. I'm okay with it. I mean, especially in New York when you can't sign anybody, you got to overpay in New York these days. How fucked up is that, having to overpay in New York?
Yeah, I mean, it is pretty messed up, you know, but yeah, I'm okay with it because, like I said, you need talent, man. If you're not, you know, the 9th pick in the NBA draft or the 11th pick in the draft isn't going to put you over the top. And so if they feel like they're putting a win now team together next to RJ Barrett, Julius Randle, you know, bringing Mitch Robinson back, like if that's their vision. I mean, like we talked about with the T-Wolves haven't been higher than a 7 seed, and they've only been a 7 seed once and an 8 seed once since 2004. So they are starved for more, right? So the perspective there is different. The Knicks are starved for more. They tasted it with that 5 seed or that 4 seed that they got the other year. And then they lost in the first round. So they're probably itching to get back. So, you know, I don't blame them.
At the end of the day, Knicks will only be as good as Julius Randle. I mean, he's going to either raise or lower their ceiling.
Bobby Portis back to the Bucks, 4 years, 49 mil.
Good for Bobby. He deserved it. Got a key to the city, but might have been a year too long, but I'm cool with it. He's worth it. Absolutely.
Yeah, I like it. I mean, he's 26, pretty young. So it's not like the years on that matter that much. And then his production's been through the roof. He's a reliable championship piece, proven. I like it. Reward him. Lou Dort to the Thunder, 5 years, $87.5 million.
You know, I think it's because they needed to pay somebody. They might have paid him a little more than they probably needed to, but at the same time, I think Lou Dort's got more to go. I think he's a way better shot creator and shot maker than people give him credit for. Also pressures the rim quite well. I think his value is as high, if not higher, than a Marcus Smart that just won Defensive Player of the Year last year. So I love Dort. I think he's worth it, especially on a team that contracts align right now.
All right. Amir Coffey to the Clippers. That means nothing to me. I don't even care. Joe Ingles to the Bucks. I think it was 1 year, $6 million. I like it. Shooting, veteran presence, playmaking if they need it, defense TBD, but not a bad guy to have at the end of your bench.
Steal. Absolute steal. I mean, the 1 year deal, why not? I think Joe Ingles is a baller and dog and fits right in. Hopefully he recovers from his ACL quickly.
Tyus Jones to the Grizzlies, 2 years, $30 million.
Could be a little bit on the steep end, but the cap plays a role there. I think he's a guy that, I mean, it looks closer to 11, 12 with the new cap. So we'll get a year of that next year. And he's only growing in Memphis under Taylor Jenkins and a perfect fit off their bench.
Yeah, I think it's steep. I mean, I understand that they need him. Ja goes down sometimes. He filled in very well. But I think it's just a bit steep. But if Memphis believes in keeping him around to keep it together, then sure. Damian Jones to the Lakers, 2 year deal. I don't know the number on that.
No idea. I think it's like 5 or 6, but regardless, he shouldn't play much. I think he's way overrated.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think he's going to be a factor for the Lakers, but I guess we'll find out. Trevlin Queen to the Sixers. I mean, he's a G League guy. He was in Houston's Rio Grande Valley Vipers G League system. I think he was the MVP of the G League.
If I'm Monty Brooks better.
No, I don't know. I don't know about that. But yeah, this doesn't move the needle for me. I mean, Philly's full of veterans. You know, I don't see him cracking that rotation anytime. Nope. Patty Mills goes back to Brooklyn.
That was shocking.
2 years, $14.5 million.
Patty. Like, does he want to be the leading scorer? Like, go get yourself a ship, man. Go have some fun. That's just something.
Opted out because Brooklyn could offer him 120% of the contract because of the rights they had. That's why he did that. So he just maxed out the money he could make.
Right. Exactly.
Dwayne Dedmon to Miami, 2 years, $9 million.
That's a whatever deal. Just fair money. I think, that's a good deal, actually.
Yeah. Good deal. Backup center. Not a needle mover. Javon Carter back to the Bucks. I don't have the number, but sure.
Yeah. Defense.
Milwaukee. Raptors and Chris Boucher, 3 years, $32.5 million. I think that's a little steep.
Yeah, way steep. I mean, a lot of people like his per 36 numbers, but with Precious coming along, with Scotty coming along, like his numbers are just going down, especially if they try to go after a center here. They got a logjam at the front court and not as consistent or needed or valuable enough for me to put him 3 years, maybe 1 or 2 at that number. I'm cool.
Yeah, I agree. And his production dipped last season, so that was kind of interesting. But it's a tradable contract, so maybe that's the theory behind that. All right, my Rockets signed Jayshon Tate to a 3-year, $22.1 million deal, basically $7 million roughly and change per year. I think I read that there's a team option as well after the second year.
Mm.
Team option, and there are certain incentives based on like games won or something. So
very team
friendly deal. And when you consider that the Thunder just overpaid most likely for Dort, Dort's getting paid more than 2 times per year what Jayshon Tate's getting paid. And I don't think he's more than 2 times the player that Jayshon Tate is. So
he's allowed to be 2 times the player. That's why he's allowed to.
Incredible deal by Rafael Stone and the Rockets.
I think it could be the best deal of free agency, to be honest. And now that you told me those other caveats, I mean, it easily could be the best deal of free agency. And I don't think it's an unfair deal to Jayshon either, but I would have loved, he's a guy I would have loved in Minnesota. And I think he's a guy that fits on any team, but I just hope that he gets an opportunity to grow.
Yeah. So here, let me clarify. Team option in year 3, and has bonus triggers tied to games 1. Year 1 is 7.
What?
Year one is 7 million. That's bonus though. I don't know if that's incentive. Okay. So it's, I think that's different, but year one, 7 million, year two, 6.5 million. So I'm assuming year three would then be 13.5 plus 8.6. Is that what that is? I guess last year's 8.6. Maybe my math's wrong there. Good deal.
Like how good and how big of a role do you think he could have real quick? Because if he is as good as I think he can, I just don't think he's going to get the role. He could be one of the bigger steals in the league at that number. But
yeah, if he's traded to a contender for that number, absolutely a steal. How big of a role will he get? I think he'll be starting. So I think
minutes went down last year from 29 to 26. That's kind of significant.
They did. Christian Wood was also there. I mean, yeah, but even if he's getting 26 minutes a game, 7 million for what he does in 26 minutes a game, I think is
fantastic. Yeah.
Definitely worth it. Marvin Bagley to the Pistons, 3 years, 37 million.
Like right off the glance, it's like, that's one of those deals where it's like, shit, wow, that's a big deal for a guy you'd think would be just going year to year right now. But Marvin Bagley was really good at times. It's just, can he be a winning player? Can he be impactful? I think he fits nicely. I think he's going to have a tough time being impactful and fitting as nicely as he did on a terrible team, especially with more trigger figures coming in.
I think it's fine. 12 million years, former number two draft pick, showed some signs in Detroit. We'll see. Maybe he sticks. Maybe he doesn't. Maybe it's a little bit steep. I wonder what the market was. You know, I would have gone something a little more conservative, maybe 2 for 20. But, you know, Detroit's rebuilding, so they can bite that bullet, I'm sure. Okay, Mitchell. Sorry. Let's do. Man, we got a lot. So we got to really, like, pump these out.
But only the big names here.
Well, I mean, it's hard. You know, I'm just going down the list.
All right.
Lonnie Walker to the Lakers, $6.5 million. I like it.
Laker fans are celebrating. I mean, it's a good risk. I mean, it's kind of like the Malik Monk deal, and that worked out pretty well. So why not? But I just think they're still missing a lot of defense and like legit players. They're banking on upside again, and it's hard when Westbrook's declining.
Yeah, can't really shoot, or at least hasn't done much really well at all. Hasn't really proven it, but he has the tools to be good defensively and athletically. So we'll see. I mean, I don't think it moves the needle for the Lakers. Thad Young back to the Raptors, 2 years, 2 years, 16 million.
Love Thad. Always will love Thad. Dude's just a great, great vet, great pro. I mean, that's a fine deal.
Yeah. Goes back to a winning situation. If Toronto can really get a piece to like elevate themselves, he's a great vet to have. Love Thad. I think it's fair. And they also traded a pick for him. So they got to keep that around. Troy Brown Jr. to the Lakers. To me, this is a whatever deal.
That's a definition of whatever. I mean, his upside's gone. I mean, you're better at making him part of the video team. He's a great vlogger.
Claxton back to the Nets, 2 years, 20 million. I think it's good for them. I think it's an overpay for what he is. Maybe I'm wrong. He's still young, and maybe I'm wrong. I think he could perform enough to be worth it. But if KD's gone, then I mean, I don't know what it's worth.
Yeah, he needs great players around him to be great. I think he could really fall off the growth train, depending on how much he thought he's growing. But it's fine. It's whatever. They need, every team needs what he brings. But yeah, I think he's very reliant on good players.
JaVale McGee to the Mavericks. I think it's, what is it? 3 years, 30, what was it?
It's big. It's big. Like 3 years, 26 or something.
Well, I think he gets 7 a year or something like that.
Yeah, that's about right.
What are your thoughts?
So JaVale, I just think he's too inconsistent to get a 3-year deal. I'm only comfortable 1 or 2 year deals, but it's whatever. No, 3 years. It's a player option too, so that makes it even worse. So it's definitely a 3-year deal.
3 years, 20.1 million. So he gets less than $7 million. Less than $7 million a year for a backup center is totally fine.
But in Dallas, they ain't no backup center. He's needed. They need his type.
So, shit. 6 point something mil for a starting center.
I don't like him as a starting center, though. That's the problem. But
yeah, but he's the kind of guy that Luka can use on lobs and stuff. Right. I mean, I think it's fine. I think it's a harmless deal. It doesn't hurt him. I'm not saying it puts him over the top, but just money wise, I don't think it hurts him. Okay. Juan Toscano-Anderson, Lakers.
That one I actually can kind of get behind a little more than the others. I think he can bring immediate value and just a solid player. That was what, a 1-year deal at what?
I don't know what the deal was, but okay. I mean, yeah, you know, nice third string player to have. I don't think he moves the needle at all. I mean, I think the Lakers did a lot of like non-needle moving types of moves. So yeah, but it is a loss for Golden State, I would say. It does kind of hurt their depth if they don't replace it. Kevin Knox to the Pistons, 2 years, $6 million.
He shouldn't be in the league anymore, man. It's getting ridiculous.
Yeah, this is a whatever deal. I mean, take a flyer on the kid. If he's got a second draft in him, go for it. If not, done. Delon Wright to the Wizards, 2 years, $16
million. How does this guy keep getting just these good deals? Like, Mike Muscala is better than him, and he's making $2.2 million. Just there's so many other guys I can go off on, too, but like, he's solid as your third guy. I mean, he's just not a guy that I don't think he's improving much either. Like, give me a Tyus at 15 versus DeLon at 8 all day.
Yeah, he can shoot. He can score sometimes, but he's not moving any needles, and he's never really been a part of something meaningful. So I just, you know, it's just completely whatever to me, especially if he's in Washington. Like, okay. Kyle Anderson to the T-Wolves, 2 years, $18
million. So I love Kyle Anderson as a fit and the idea of him. People think he's, I mean, just a slow player, but the way he pushes the ball, I mean, the pace can actually be pretty fast with him out there. He's not as versatile and good of a defender as many make him out to seem. I think he's a little bit overrated there. I would have preferred a 1-year deal or a little less, but I'm fine with it. It's just a good deal.
I think it's good for Minnesota. It gives them some depth. Gives them someone on the wing. You know, they're building something over there. Whether it's going to be successful or not, we'll see. But they are building something that seems relatively sustainable. So
Pat, I like Bev, it for Minnesota. Pat Bev was way more excited about him than just about anybody, too. So that was unfortunate that Pat's gone for his case.
Yeah. Gary Harris to the Magic, 2 years. I think it's 2 years, $26
million. Rockstar. I mean, Gary showed he's back. I think he's just a good vet, good, solid player. I don't know if he can ever get back to his ceiling, but I mean, he's back to being a good positive player on both ends, and they need defense there on the perimeter. So he should have a solid role for those 2 years.
Yeah. I mean, if Orlando sees him as a part of what they've got going on for the future, then sure. You know, good value, I guess. I mean, I think it's a slight overpay. It's interesting because Gary Harris, $13 million. You know, and Eric Gordon will get you 18 or 19 million. You know, Isaiah Hardenstein will get you 8 million. It's just weird how these things scale, depending on like the position and the value the player brings. But yeah, good for Orlando. I mean, 2 years, you know, whatever. Daniel House to the Sixers for 2 years. I think it's 2 years, 8 million. I think they used the biannual exception on him, if I'm not mistaken.
I'm not a House guy, man. I liked him for like a year in Houston. And I think he's just a guy that likes the money and doesn't need to give everything every game. And I just don't know if he'll bring enough value to lock in for a 2-year deal. And I think they're going to try to play him and try to fit him into holes that he ain't working, where Dybul, I think, still more valuable than him there and better. But
well, he can shoot threes and Dybul can't. But yeah, Dybul's right. Obviously the far better defender. Yeah, it's interesting to me that I know Morey wants to get the Rockets back together in Philly. It's interesting to me that he went and got Daniel House at this stage. Daniel House had no value on the trade market earlier this season. I guess re-upped his reputation and went back to where things were familiar and comfortable with Daryl Morey. But I don't think he's a needle mover for Philly. Maybe some regular season depth. Not going to make things pop off in the postseason unless he just has like a great jump playing next to Embiid and Harden, which is possible.
Do you think he's a bad influence on Harden at all?
I don't know him like that to make that comment. Okay, I mean, okay. We can talk about the bubble, but like, is he a bad influence? Generally, I have no idea. Andre Drummond to Chicago. I think I like it. I would have liked to see Chicago get, I know they needed a center, you know, behind Vucevic and someone that is more defensive minded, rebound oriented. And I would have gone with Dwight Howard, quite frankly, but,
absolutely.
But I think Andre Drummond feels like some need for them. And he can also pass the ball a little bit, which I think they utilize off of Vuce. So, you know, regular season depth. I don't know if he's going to make a difference in the postseason.
It's crazy how that guy fluctuates from being good to really good to terrible and to almost a non-NBA player the last 3-4 years. And yeah, it depends on what Andre Drummond you're going to get
Yeah. Okay. Next is Gary Payton II to Portland. 3 years, $28 million, nine and change per year. I love it. I love it for him. He gets his bag. He's 29. He's basically like a 29-year-old rookie. Not really, but, you know, basically. Gets the devastating elbow injury, you know, comes back and then plays through it and ends up winning a world championship. I mean, that's amazing. So really like what he brings. Love like the hustle, the tenacity, the big play ability, the fact that, you know, when big runs are being made, he's always on the court, or so it seems. 9 years, $9 million per year for 3 years seems pretty steep. Seems like a lot, but I like Portland trying to revamp and get this defensive identity. They got Jeremy Grant. They get Gary Payton II. So maybe this is the start of you know, something a little bit different in Portland. They've needed it for a long time.
I think this is Dame's best team he's ever had on paper. I just hope they stay healthy and they give him a run. It's not enough to win yet, unless Anthony Simons gets to his max ceiling of like a top 20 player-ish. But I love GP. I mean, and next to Anthony and Dame, I think he can even play the three with those guys, as long as Jeremy Grant and Yusuf are helping out as well. But last thing I'm going to say, there's not too many 29-year-old guys that are improving consistently. I think he's got three more years of maybe growing and improvement, and he's grinding. He wants to be good.
All right. Zion re-ups. That was not a surprise. Mitchell Robinson back to the Knicks, 4 years, $60 million. I mean, personally, I don't know what he's done to get $60 million, but good for him.
He puts up some of the most efficient numbers of all time, but they're like the least impactful in efficiency. And I've been preaching efficiency can be overrated, and he's like the prime example, because, I mean, it just comes in waves, and teams usually losing when he's getting his touches and whatnot. But the idea of Mitchell Robinson is so much better than the actual player. The number's fine, 4 years, but at the end of the day, you need to be better around him to boost him. So, yeah, Jalen Brunson could, I mean, get a good lob threat going there. That could really help Mitchell Robinson.
Yeah, I mean, I think you nailed it by saying the idea of Mitchell Robinson is probably better than Mitchell Robinson, the reality. I mean, on paper, it's like, holy shit, look at this guy. And sometimes he makes those plays where you're like, wow. But, you know, I don't know. Has had trouble playing a full season over the course of his career. Had a full season this year, 72 games, 76% from the field, almost exclusively around the basket. 8.5 points per game, 8.6, you know, rebounds, two blocks, whatever. He does what he does, but is he worth $15 million for 4 years next to Julius Randle? I don't know about that. So, but good for him. Bruce Brown to the Nuggets, 2 years, $13 million. I love this for Denver. I think he's going to be a great utility player for Denver. And I think that they got him on a steal of a deal, especially after he's proven that he can be a difference maker in the playoffs.
Yeah, no, that deal's perfection. You can't do much better than that. And he's a perfect fit next to Jokic, next to Jamal Murray. I mean,
oh, did you see Rubio?
Yeah, that, I don't know how he got that deal. The little sneaky guy.
I didn't know he re-upped. Keep going.
Yeah, but Bruce Brown, man, I love it. I think he just makes these guys closer to a contender by the minute. But at the end of the day, just like the Knicks are about Julius Randle, the Nuggets are about Michael Porter Jr. I know what we're getting from everybody else.
Okay. Let's see. I think that John Wall to the Clippers, 2 years, $13.2 million. I love this. I think they need a point guard. I don't think Reggie Jackson is that point guard. I think Reggie Jackson's better suited to be a scorer for them instead of having to set up an offense and defer. So I think this slides Reggie Jackson over to like a six man or a two guard where he can really just focus on scoring. And John Wall can play point guard and support Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. 2 years, $13.2 million. I think he gave up $6 or $7 million in the buyout with Houston, so he basically recoups that and then gets another year. Good deal for both sides.
Yep, no brain. I hope he gets a chance. I mean, just off the bat, starts immediately. I think that's if you put him in as a backup, he might give you results as a backup. So I think he is a guy that you need to fully believe in him right off the bat and make Reggie Jackson fight him for it.
Yeah, Yusuf Nurkic back to the Blazers, 4 years, $70 million. That's about, what, $17 million and change per year. It matches up on the market to some extent, but man, I would not want to be giving Yusuf Nurkic $17 million a year for 4 years. Puts up good numbers, solid player, hasn't proven to really move the needle in the playoffs. Has had injury concerns for the last three seasons. He's played over the last three seasons from 2019 to the end of 2022. He has played 37 plus 8, that's 45, plus 56. What's the math on that? 56 plus 40, 90, 101 games over the last three seasons, if my math is correct.
Brutal.
Which comes out to about, you know, what, 33, 34 games per season. So that's a risky commitment. I mean, good for Portland for trying to keep the band together. He's a talented player. I mean, he can score, rebound, pass. He can block shots. He's not what I would consider as like a prototypical shot blocker, but he can definitely block one to two shots per game. I just don't know if he's a winning piece for a legitimate contender.
I think the defense limits him. He's also a poor player in the playoffs. He's never been really good. And his health transfers to the playoffs. Like, he misses full season. So I would only, he's a 1-2 year deal for me, but I mean, they needed to spend cap apparently and couldn't find it anywhere else. So Yusuf is the beneficiary.
There you go. Everything else is small. There's two more that are worth mentioning that I have on my radar. I'll get to them and I'll just go down this list. I'm not even asking for your opinion on these. I'm just listing them. Theo Pinson to the Mavericks, 1 year deal. Great. Whatever. The Hawks and Aaron Holiday, 1 year deal. Great. Whatever. Oh, Otto Porter Jr. to the Raptors for a 2 year deal with a player option. I don't know what the money is on that. But that's a great pickup for Toronto. Otto Porter Jr. was huge for Golden State. It seemed like every time Boston or another team was making a run, Otto Porter Jr. hit a corner three and just splashed it to end said run. So big loss for Golden State. Also losing GP2, big loss for Golden State. They'll be okay in the end. But great pickup for Toronto. Just another, you know, 6'6", 6'7", athletic wing that can shoot threes. It feels like they have too many of them at this point, but good pickup for Toronto. Bol Bol and the Magic, 2 year deal. That's funny. Cleveland, Robin Lopez, 1 year deal for $3 billion. Woo! Drew Eubanks in Portland, 1 year deal, $2 million. I guess Miles Leonard is just done.
Trash, man. He should get another chance, but it is what it is. He's a guy that, I mean, he's put in a lot of work to get his goodwill back. But yeah, he can't. That's why Miles Bridges, I mean, doing something 10 times worse. If he shows up in the NBA, that's going to be just absolute asinine. He shouldn't see the NBA court ever again. The NBA has done a way better job than the NFL of one strike, you're out.
Yeah. Looney back to the Warriors, 3 years, $25.5 million. Great deal for both sides. About time Looney got paid. He's only like 25 or 26. Huge for the Warriors. That's a bargain deal. I was kind of hoping Houston would try to steal Looney away for like $9 or $10 million a year. But he gets his payday, basically gets, you know, eight and change per year. Good deal for him and the Warriors.
Yeah, that was a big one and surprising, but I mean, he's really good in the playoffs and he provides so much value for that team, so I can't put it against him. But yeah, I just, if he was on any other team, I wouldn't have spent that money, but Golden State gets it out of him.
Yep. And then the last free agent signing on my radar is Derek Jones back to Chicago, 2 years, $6.6 million. Not a needle mover, but sure.
Yeah. I mean, it's a whatever deal for me. I guess the last question I'll ask you is, where would you like to see Ayton go? Colin Sexton, any thoughts on those two guys? Those are like the last big names that could be moved.
Ayton, I don't really care where Ayton goes, honestly. I mean, for Phoenix's sake, I would like to see them take another shot at it, re-up at the margins, get a little bit better, make another run. I'd like to see Colin Sexton back to Cleveland. I feel like they kind of got robbed. They had a special year and then injuries kind of robbed them. And he was the first injury. They were doing fine without him, but ultimately the other injuries ended up getting them. So I would like to see, you know, Sexton, Garland, Mobley, Allen, see if there's something there.
Very good. Anything else?
I think that's it, man. The day's moving quickly and I got to get back to it. But if you're listening, man, I'll be in Vegas for Summer League. So if we have any listeners that want to
hit up the Don,
if you have any listeners that want to buy me a beer, you feel free. You let me know. Tweet at me.
We'll get them drunk, folks.
We'll grab a beer and talk a little bit of hoop. But other than that, free agency, man, NBA offseason, it's one of the greatest shows around.
KD, let's get this over with. Let's move on, and then let's get on to Kyrie. And we got a couple bangers left. KD, Kyrie, Donovan Mitchell could be on the move. Things could get interesting, but pray for me in Minnesota. Luckily, I made clear the roads. I'm not sick anymore. It is what it is, but pray for me, folks. Amps.